Hey everyone, welcome to this episode. This is the podcast based on the fundamentals of success for the 21st century. My name is Jordan Lane Miller and I'm excited to be here with you, sharing my experiences, insights, successes, and struggles with these eight fundamentals. So let's review them real quick before we go any further. Number one is emotional intelligence. Number two is communication. Number three is self-management. Number four is health. Number five is finances. Number six is leadership. Number seven is entrepreneurship, and number eight is goal setting. And this podcast is designed around just sharing thoughts and insights and things I'm working with one of these or more of these fundamentals in order to design the life that we each desire and achieve success, whatever that means or whatever that looks like to us. I believe that with a mastery in one, or especially if you had them in all eight fundamentals, that you would be able, you'd be well on your way to achieving, again, designing your life and achieving success on your terms. And communication is what I want to just share brief, some experiences with communication, why it's so important that I've had recently. I am building a house right now, and being the general contractor, the builder, just about everything, right? And so the homeowner is, you know, the decision maker, everything. So obviously I've got about 30,000 decisions or more to make, you know, when you're building a new home. And so, while I'm doing a lot of it myself, I still have to incorporate and involve many other people, subcontractors, vendors, suppliers. And then from the subcontractor, people that they have working for them. So it's just an enormous amount of communication that needs to take place. This is where most people get, from my experience in building, since I have 12 years or more of experience in building houses and remodeling and being in the construction industry from previous life. But this is where, you know, I think everybody who's owned a home or has built a home or done a remodel project and had to hire somebody, this is where the frustration comes in. The communication is just terrible. It's absolutely awful from most contractors. Now, I'm not saying that the homeowners are always right or that they're let them off the hook, because communication is a two-way street. Goes both ways. But what my experience of being in the industry is that most contractors do not know how to communicate appropriately or correctly or in a way that makes their customer understand and feel good. Obviously, there are some that do, and those are the ones that are, you know, the most well-paid and the most in demand because of that sense of ease that they give their customers. So my experience with this is having built before, but now having a personal project that I'm doing, and the industry right now is crazy as a whole. Out here in Colorado, it is absolutely out of control. You're lucky to get callbacks. Tradespeople are wanting to charge, you know, 2, 3, 4 times more than what they used to, just based on sheer amount of volume. And projects going on. And so really, for someone to just do an average project is almost priced out of the market based on, you know, what going rates are right now. So the question, the dilemma I had was that I was already involved in this project when things started getting crazy. So how was I going to, or was I going to be able to use my communication skills via persuasion, influence, and negotiation to rope in the project into a project that I could do, that we would be able to afford. And that took a lot of practice. It took a lot of preparation and a lot of times communicating with the same people over and over. So a few examples, every industry or every trade, right, from the architect to engineer to the build to the framer to concrete guy to, you know, whatever, everybody's backed up with plenty of work right now. So how do I get them to how do I persuade them? How do I influence them in order to take my job first or to choose me over someone else? And it just boils down to, well, number one, I guess if you had the most money, but how can you do this without just throwing money at them, right? Would be, I guess, where everybody might be able to gain from this, because, hey, if you're in the upper echelon, if you're in the top echelon, where money, you don't have a budget, it doesn't matter. You just say, tell me what it costs. I'll give it to you and I'll double it as long as you choose me first. Hey, well then, good for you. That would be not most people. And so how can we use our influence and persuasion? How can we use our communication to get us around or get us to that point? And so that's what I really had to think about. And so with certain subcontractors, right, that were going to come in and help out, what I had to do was figure out what made them tick. Why did they do what they do? What makes them feel alive? What gets them excited when it comes to their work? Then, how could I use that in my communication? So here's an example of, someone who you're working with or wanting to persuade and influence, they like being a hero. They like swooping in and saving the day. So can you create a scenario or can you paint a picture through your words that, you know, them choosing your job or whatever would allow them to enact or allow them to act as the hero, right? So if you can do that, great. I guarantee you that you'll get what you want. So that's how we can, that's one example of, hey, how can you make this, how can you get this done on your time frame? How can you get this done in your budget? Now, I'm not saying that the goal is not to stiff somebody out of what they deserve or what they need or want, right? But there's certainly negotiation room. There's room to negotiate on any project. So how worth it is it to you? So the question that I have is, how worth it is it? What's it worth to you, or what's it worth to somebody, to master the communication via negotiation, persuasion, and influence, to be able to get what they want while not hurting the other person? Can you negotiate down the price to where the other side still feels comfortable, still feels good, right? And you you get what you need, which is coming in at a certain budget. Can you get somebody to do something on a certain time frame that they wouldn't otherwise if you just called and said, hey, I need this done? How do you get somebody to make you a priority? And that's all done through communication, which is, again, why I say that this is the number one skill. Along with emotional intelligence, communication, those two together, when you master those two, everything else opens up for you. And that's why I implore people to work on their communication, right? So another example of communication, this is a different realm of communication, but some of the people that I have working on the job, they speak another language. So what would it be worth to you to know another language, to be able to communicate with somebody else in their native language, in their native tongue? Well, here's an example. When someone communicates with us and we feel good about it, right? When someone communicates and we feel good, we tend to want to do things for them, right? So the example is this. I learned how to speak another language to the extent that I could communicate with them in their language so that they didn't always have to feel like they're speaking my language. Well, what does that do? It makes them feel good so that when certain things come up, whether it's starting earlier than what they had thought, or whether it's doing a little bit extra, or whether it's just making the job site go smoothly, they're more apt to do that. They're more willing to do that because I'm taking that extra effort to communicate on their level, to communicate with them how they want to be communicated with. So that's another example. And it's just, it's been It's I've worked on this now, and I know it, and I've worked on it with real estate and a whole bunch of other things, right? But to see it again in action, it always just astonishes me how important or how powerful communication can be in every aspect, every area of our life. Because in my specific example, I have plenty of people who have told me, now is a really rough time to be doing this. It's almost impossible. It's going to take X amount of time. It's going to cost X amount more. So the challenge to me is, can I take these fundamentals that I believe allow us to design our life on our own terms? Can I take them? Can I work on mastering them, implement them in here, and then achieve what I want? And I think that, and I know that the answer is yes. And this is, these last couple of weeks has just been one demonstration, one proof right after the next that it can happen. So that's the experiences that I've had. But how can we, how can you carry that over to what, you know, what you're doing? Because you're probably not building a house, right? But can you look in your area, can you look at your life and see in one area, if you improved your communication skills, what would happen? How much better things would be, how much smoother they would go, right? Think about if you have a family with a spouse or kids, if your job with your coworkers, your peers, your boss, right? Take one area. Here's my challenge to you for the, well, it's just a challenge to take it for however long you want to. Let's say you take it to the end of the year, which is not very far away. Let's say we do a one-week challenge, one- or two-week challenge. What area of your life can you pick that you want to specifically improve your communication skills? How can you, sit down and think about, well, what can I do to improve those? What would it make? What would be different with my kids if I made sure that I communicated in a way that they responded? They finally responded to me the way I wanted them to respond. Right? If you own a business with your employees or whatever, go ahead and take that challenge and see how much different it is. So first you've got to sit down, you've got to figure out what type of communication you need to work on. Is it negotiating? Is it persuasion? Is it influence? Right? Is it speaking another language? Is it your tone? Is it your delivery? What is it about that you could improve that would get you the better results? So first sit down and think about that. Then map out and then start practicing and thinking about the words you're going to use, the body language you're going to use, right? And then you actually got to go do it. So a simple three-step process, three-step plan, right? Identify it, practice it, and then do it. And then after that, right, then you've got to look and say, okay, did it go the way I thought it would, or do I still need more improvement? So plan, do, review. So I hope you gained some value from that. I was excited to share it because, again, when you can knock off thousands and thousands of dollars, when you can speed up your time frame without doing anything illegal, without doing anything mean to anybody, but doing it through the power of communication, the question again is, what is it worth to you to be a master communicator, to have that fundamental skill of communication mastered? To me, it's been worth thousands, tens of thousands of dollars over the years. And if I was even better, it would be closer to hundreds of thousands, if not more. So I hope you gained some value. If you have, would love for you to subscribe, share this with your inner circle. If you want to connect, I would love to on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, YouTube, LinkedIn. At Jordan Lane Miller, JordanLaneMiller, or at J Lane Miller. My email is Jordan@JordanLaneMiller. Website where you can find more about what I'm doing with these and how maybe you can implement them with my blog and podcast and everything else on it. That's JordanLaneMiller.com. If you want to check out and get a quick 1-2 punch on these fundamentals with a short read, I've got a free book that I came out with called Life's Tuition. It outlines these 8 fundamentals and how you can immediately start implementing them in certain areas of your life. That's a free book to you. Just pay the shipping and handling to get it delivered to you. That's the only way to get that is over at my website. But again, any way that you would like to connect and communicate, I would love to do it with you. This journey is so much more fun when we do it with other people who are like-minded and on the same path of wanting to improve. So until next time, make it a great day. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode. This is the podcast based on the fundamentals of success for the 21st century. My name is Jordan Lane Miller and I'm excited to be here with you sharing my experiences, insights, successes, and struggles with these fundamentals. So before we go any further, let me share what the eight of them are. Number one is emotional intelligence. Number two is communication. Number three is self-management. Number four is health. Number five is finances. Number six is leadership. Number seven is entrepreneurship. And number eight is goal setting. And this podcast is dedicated to sharing ways that we can master these eight fundamentals so that we can create a life by design and create a life of success based on our own individual terms. And so on this episode, I'm going to share some thoughts on goal setting. I think it's poignant right now, coming up on the end of the year. Today's December 27th, and a lot of people start talking about goal setting and New Year's resolutions and those kind of things. And so I thought I would give my thoughts on it and kind of things that I do, and then pose some questions that hopefully we can get a dialogue started with. And the first question is goal setting. Is it necessary? Do you have to do it in order to be successful? Are there people that don't set goals that are still successful and people that do that aren't successful? And so obviously I fall on one side of the debate. However, I know several people who I would consider successful in their own right, because they're living their life the way that they want to, and they absolutely don't set goals. And I don't think they're adamant about not doing it. It's just that that's not their personality. It's not their style. And those are some close family members. Actually, as a matter of fact, two of my sisters who I grew up with, they both are living extraordinary lives, having traveled, seen so many things, done so many things, experienced so many things, and neither of them are keen on setting goals. So, that would beg the question, do you need to? And, we need to get into a huge discussion about whether you should or shouldn't. There's examples of people who are doing what they want to do, living how they want to live, and that don't. However, at the same token, I think most people who have been deemed successful through the lens of society, I think a lot of them, most of them, set goals. But what does it really mean to set a goal? And is it the same as a New Year's as a resolution? There's a bunch of questions that go into what actually is goal setting. You know, there's a lot of definitions. What's a goal? You know, simplest definition is it's a dream with a deadline. That sounds pretty simple. We all have dreamed at one point or another in our lives. And the difference between a dream and a goal is that there's a deadline, there's a path, there's a plan set for that dream that turns it into a goal. Another simple definition or way to look at it is just, how to get at whatever you want is simply to ask. Or write it down and then ask. And that goes way back into ancient literature, right? Ask and you shall receive, those kind of things. So, can you keep it that simple? Then there's some people that want to get into SMART goals, specific, measurable, attainable, reasonable, and timely. And that's one approach. Then there's another approach that suggests that you should 10x your goals, 10 times it. So if you wanted, right, $100,000, if your goal was $100,000, you should actually 10x it to $1 million. Or if you wanted $1 million as a goal, then you should actually make your goal $10 million. With the thinking that, you know, if you're going to strive for a goal, you might as well shoot big, because if you're going to miss on either, you'd rather miss on the 10 million than the million, because if you fall short of the 10 million, you'll probably, you know, end up closer to, or if not surpassing the million. So that's another technique or another philosophy on doing it. So there's a lot of ways to go about doing it. I think goal setting should be kept simple. So another one would be, you know, you only pick one major goal, 1, 2, 3 major goals, and that's all you focus on. The other side of the coin would be you write everything down that you want, and you know, you put a time frame on it. This is a 1 year goal, a 3 year goal, a 5 year goal, a 10 year goal. So there's many, many different ways. And I think the most important thing, and the reason why goal setting is the 8th fundamental in that list of the success fundamentals for the 21st century, is because once you have a grasp on the other 7, then you can set goals around being self-aware through emotional intelligence, around having self-management, right? Around the concept of health and finances, the entrepreneurial mindset, right? Having setting goals via leadership. So that's why it's the 8th one. It's no less important. It's just, I think people would be more successful, set up for success in setting goals once they understand those other fundamentals. And so I'm curious what people think, you know, some of the listeners think. Are you a goal setter? Are you a New Year's resolutionist? Have they worked? Have they not worked? Do you shy away from goals because you've tried them before and they haven't worked? Are you all about goals and that's how you live your whole life? Interesting. So for me personally, I enjoy setting goals. I've always been a big dreamer. I've always been a big thinker. So setting goals has never been an issue for me. Dreaming big has never been an issue. Once I refine that into creating a specific goal, not necessarily a SMART goal, the acronym SMART, but just a specific goal of saying, this is what I want, writing it down, thinking about it, you know, I've seen tremendous success in my own life. A couple of prevalent examples. One, I wrote a goal down when I was 18, a freshman in college, that I wanted to design and build my own house. I'm currently in the process of doing that, you know, about 15 years later. Now, I didn't think about that goal. I didn't write that goal down every day since I was 18. But what I believe is that once I wrote it down, it got locked into my subconscious. Of course, there were times throughout the last 15 years where I thought about it. But how many specific steps did I take? I would say not many. But at the same time, subconsciously, I'm guessing that those steps were taken. So certain decisions I made on real estate and business and lifestyle and those kind of things probably played a factor into being able to do that. The communications, the dialogues I had with people that might be able to help me attain this dream of mine, I think all those subconsciously factored into it, but it wasn't something that I stared at every day or I repeated 10 times a day or something like that. But that's, so for me, I mean, there's been just countless examples of these big goals that I've personally set for myself. Now, I'm not suggesting anybody has to or should have the same type of goals that I do. That's not it at all. But for me, my life has been centered around having these goals. And almost eerily, when I accomplish one, it reaffirms what I do with goal setting. this last year, and I've had mentors that have been every different type of goal setting that I listed off before. I've had mentors that fall into each one of those categories. This last year, I decided to write my goals down on a sheet of paper, a continuous notepad, every morning and every night. Now, there's obviously a few days that I missed here and there, but by and large, throughout the whole year, I wrote those goals down and, had a lot of them. All I did was write them down. It wasn't like I studied them afterwards. I just wrote them down, and whatever was written down for that day was written down. Some days they were the same. Some days some of the goals were missing. But when I look back on it and I see, out of the 26 major goals that I had, or the things that I would consider, would love to accomplish as soon as possible, a good handful of them were accomplished. A published author, a fully renovated home, building a new home, those kind of things. Building a personal brand, creating a podcast, a lot of those, and those are just kind of not necessarily the exact specifics of it, but that's really what, a handful of them that were accomplished. Would I have accomplished them had I not focused on them? Obviously, I'm not able to say because I didn't choose that route. But what I do from the route that I chose, I feel like it was helpful. I feel like writing my goals down, not spending a lot of time. It's just right first thing in the morning, writing the goals down. And when I was done thinking about it, I didn't spend any extra time thinking about it. Just whatever flowed at that moment was written down. And once it stopped flowing, I stopped and didn't even look back at it. And I did the same thing right before, one of the last things before I went to bed. And I feel like, again, I didn't study them, but looking back on them now, a year later, I don't know if I would have accomplished some of those big goals, or I would have taken steps in the direction. So I'm a big believer in setting goals. I'm a big believer in focusing on them to the extent that it just has to be some part of your awareness to some extent. I don't know if you need to narrow it down to just three, or if you can have a whole list, or if you do separate goal, do one list that just has three. And again, all that is personal preference. All that is based on self-awareness. People, operate differently. Their mentality is different. Their mindset is different. Their approach to life is different. So I think that's one of the key things about goal setting, is understanding who you are and how you're going to best accomplish. If you're someone that just is a dreamer and from dreams takes immediate action and is happy with that, then I think that's the route that you should go. If you're someone that needs a very specific target with visuals placed in front of you and mile markers and celebrations along the way, then that's the way that you have to choose. One thing I'm not a believer in is New Year's resolutions. I think New Year's resolutions set ourselves up to fail, because typically it's resolving to not do something rather than to do something. So it's a negative more than it is a positive. Our resolution is to quit smoking, which is to stop doing something rather than to, increase our health, right? Or our New Year's resolution of to get out of debt or to lose weight, right? Those are not positive aspirations. I mean, they can have a positive effect, but your mind is not, your subconscious is not hearing it as a positive. To lose, if I say I want to lose weight, the subconscious hears lose, 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 lose. And if you repeat it over and over, well, now every subconscious does is think about losing. Getting out of, right? Digging yourself out of a hole. That's what your subconscious is thinking about with debt. Stop smoking, to quit, right? If I say, I want to quit smoking, and then you think about it and you say, quit. And if you write it down, right? Quit, 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 quit. Well, that's what your mind is going to go to work on, is quitting. And that's why people most often quit their New Year's resolutions within the first few weeks, if not the first week, especially on those three major ones: getting out of debt, quitting smoking, and losing weight. So I'm not a believer in New Year's resolutions in that, to that degree, or in that term. So I think if we turn those around and set them into a positive affirmation goal, I think the results would be much different. But again, most people are not taught how to properly set goals, or they're just not, they're never, even, and again, it's not a one size fits all, but they never discover how to set goals for themselves that's going to set themselves up for success. So, you know, heading into the last few days of the year, starting off the new year, when everybody and all the commercial marketing and everybody's talking about New Year's resolutions and how the next year is going to be so much different, I don't buy into all that stuff. Every day can be different. The brand new day, whether it's the first, January 1st or July 13th or October 7th or whatever, we don't need a calendar to tell us that we can all of a sudden change, because that's not going to happen. And I think that's another reason why people fail. They think something magic is going to switch off in their brain or switch in their life just because we flip the calendar and all of a sudden it reads 2019 instead of 2018. That's definitely setting ourselves up for failure. So I hope you gained some value from this. I still believe in goals. I believe in us finding our own path on setting goals. And because I do believe it's one of the eight fundamentals for success. And once you understand the other seven, setting goals around those and for those other fundamentals really will allow anybody to design the life that they dream of, design the life they desire, and to be a smashing success at any given moment and every given moment in their life. Hope you gain value from this. If you have and I've earned it, I would love for you to subscribe and share with your network and your inner circle. Would also love to connect on social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, YouTube, and LinkedIn at Jordan Lane Miller, JordanLaneMiller, or at J Lane Miller. My website is JordanLaneMiller.com. You can find a bunch of resources around these eight fundamentals. You can also get your free copy of my book, Life's Tuition. It's a free book for you. Just pay the shipping and handling to get it delivered right to your door within a week. Usually about 3 to 5 days is what people have been telling me. If you'd love to drop me an email, my email is jordan@jordanlanemiller.com. And again, I'd love to connect and hear how your journey is, and continue it on, continue along together, because working through life with someone else or with other people is far better, it's far superior than doing it alone. So until next time, make it a great day.